To be a part of the show, hit us up at 323-920-9590, and your call will be on the next podcast.
Uncle Luke! Uncle Luke!
So a question Uncle Luke's always been pondering is, there any Indian reservations in the country of India?
We stand witness to the awesome power of radio.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the acronym
Radio Citrus.
From the context, we think it means kill me now.
Now, broadcasting from a transmitter the size and power of a toaster.
Let's hang glide out of this loser emporium.
From the top of the San Gabriel Mountains to the Rockies to the Appalachians.
You two suck, period.
This is the house that YTMND built.
You're ruining what was supposed to be a cool establishment.
This is Radio Citrus.
It's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. Stop hurting America.
Nothing's hurting America like Grand Theft Auto 5.
Or hurting America's graphics cards.
you were telling me yours, it wiped it out.
It pretty much, like, it just ate it. It just ate it and just... I have two graphics cards. Two of them in my computer, and yeah, GTA 5 sort of was like, cool story, bro.
I get the whole idea why they call it PC Master Race on Reddit, because holy cow, the people who have the really high-end GTX cards, like 990s or whatever they are. I don't know graphics cards that well. But they were posting 4K, like 60 frame per second video clips. And I'm just going, holy smokes.
Yeah, that's too much.
I can't even fully appreciate it because my monitor is only 1080.
I can only appreciate a quarter of it.
Yeah, there you go. It's Radio Citrus on Q95.9 FM. And Star Wars, I think, is the big takeaway this week.
It was so good to see some more Star Wars. And a follow-up note to that, even though we're not going to talk that much about it, Star Wars Battlefront 3 trailer. I guess, would it be third one, or is it just...
Help me understand what that is, because I never got into any of the spinoff stuff.
So, okay. So you remember the old Battlefield games? I mean, they have the new ones, too. But the old Battlefield games, it was just, you know, two teams, capture the flag, deathmatch, that sort of thing. But it was reskinned with Star Wars. So you were stormtroopers, rebel troopers, you know, fighting in a Star Wars themed thing. And it was just good, dumb fun. It was, yeah. So the first one came out and everyone was like, cool, this is all right. What else you got? And then they came out with the second one. Everyone was like, we can use ships. We can go into space. We can do all this cool stuff. And then they just stopped.
Really?
And we haven't like heard anything since like 2006. And so then like last year when Disney bought up all of Star Wars, they put it out to the guys who made Battlefield, or I guess it was DICE. They made Battlefield among other things. And so we're going to get the idea is a legit first person shooter development for a new Battlefront game with all the new sort of Star Warsy things that we've sort of worked up and messed around with. So really, we're getting Battlefront in fall. We're getting a Star Wars movie in December. Like, Star Wars is back.
And for Christmas, you can get a little model of R8 or whatever, the little new
R88 or whatever.
New R2D2 guy who's like a little ball who rolls around.
Yeah.
But, well, that's cool. I mean, I haven't been excited about anything since the old LucasArts games, you know, Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
What was the one before Jedi Knight? Dark Forces. There you go.
Oh, Dark Forces.
Take it back to the 90s.
Really old.
Anyway, here it is, the Star Wars trailer, which is approved to accompany this feature and blah, blah, blah. You know, the little MPA.
Green thing.
Yeah. So we've got, intense music here. Lucasfilm. There's no point hardly describing this. I mean, we've all seen
John Williams.
We've all seen it. So yeah. You're the speeder going through the desert, and then of course it pans over, and what do you see?
An X-wing.
A crashed. What were those things called?
Star Destroyer. Goodness!
Thank you.
No problem.
I can't believe it. Which, by the way, I always had problems with calling it a Star Destroyer when I was a little kid and first watching, because the Death Star destroyed planets. So it, wouldn't that make better sense to call it a Star Destroyer? Because you don't destroy stars with a Star Destroyer. You blow up ships. It'd be a ship destroyer. Anyway.
It would. I mean, if we're being technical here, it was a ship destroyer. I agree. Not a lot of star destroying done by those.
So you mentioned X-Wing. Is that what that crashed thing in the foreground is, a crashed X-Wing?
Yes. So,
oh, holy crap. Sorry. I'm just excited.
All right. Well, hey.
I'm trying to stay calm here, but this is undoing 15 years of damage since I first saw it. Right. Now this is pod racing.
Woohoo! Yeah. No, thank you. I will not see it opening night. I will not. I will wait and see what happens.
No, this is...
This is Patrick. Yeah, that... So what I saw from the trailer was, this might not suck. That's what I got from that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, seeing a return to... Okay, if George Lucas just... We're already just 20 seconds into this trailer.
Okay.
George Lucas would have shiny, uncrashed ships.
Yes.
These are dirty, dusty, moldy. Some bad vibes going on with these things here, you know? So let's see what else we got here. Fade to black.
Force is strong in my family.
Is that Mark Hamill?
So that's actually my question. That's
gotta
I'm
be.
Not sure. When I first listened to it, I was like, no, that's not Mark Hamill's voice. Because he's quoting that little tidbit from the Return of the Jedi, where he's talking to Leia, and you're like, oh, she doesn't know that they're related. But yeah, so I don't know if it doesn't sound quite like Mark Hamill's voice. So my first thought was the sibling parent situation is very different than what I expected.
Yeah, here, let's hear this again.
Father has it.
I think that's Mark Hamill.
You think it is?
Oh,
I mean,
oh,
look,
yeah.
Let's face it. You and I have a history and a career of listening to disembodied voices. I don't think there's very many ears on this planet that can discern voices quite like ours.
Well, maybe. Or
maybe a few.
It's just like, or I want it to be so badly that I... I mean, who else right. could be? My father has it. You see a Darth Vader mask, which, by the way, didn't that get burnt up? Why is that thing still around?
Right. I saw the joke on the internet that flames can't melt Durasteel helmets.
Oh.
Or that jet fuel, you know the whole like 9/11 jet fuel can't melt steel beams thing that people insist on continuing to.
I was thinking it
perpetuate.
Was more a Duracell, you know.
Duracell?
Because nothing can stop a Duracell. I don't know. But anyway, because, I mean, who else could it be? My father has it. I mean, the only other thing it could be is if Carrie Fisher smoked a lot.
My father has it.
Oh, Carrie, lay off the cigarettes, you know?
Chill out, babe.
Okay, it's Luke, because then you see the robot hand. And
yeah, but hold on. Remember from the movies, he didn't have a robot hand. He had, like, a mechanical hand that had, like, either real or fake skin over it.
The only time you saw fake skin was in the hospital.
Yes.
But then it was like he got tired of it and just wore a glove instead.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, George Lucas always wanting to pinch pennies instead of a complex, practical effect thing. They just put on a black glove and let's act like it's a robot.
Yeah. Though the thing is, it's his right hand. Did Luke have his right hand or left hand chopped off? That I don't know.
Both Anakin and so that's just it. Both Anakin and Luke got their right hands cut off. Anakin was
Anakin more, got everything chopped off. Sometimes twice. And somebody put online, isn't he the only being known to mankind who lost five limbs?
He managed to lose five limbs. I mean, technically one wasn't a limb, it was a prosthetic, but yeah,
still,
he managed to lose five limbs.
It's a bad track record.
Terrible.
I have it. My sister has it.
Yeah, let's not overthink this. This is Luke. This is Luke talking. Who else could it be?
Well, it could be their kids.
No.
I mean, look.
No.
No?
No, no, no. Well, for starters, Luke and Leia wouldn't have kids.
No, not them have kids. But I'm saying, like, One of it's either.
I know. Han and Leia. No, this is definitely. And he's probably. I think he's talking to like his niece or nephew because he.
You have that power too.
There you go. And the best part is they fade to black and they don't show who he's talking to. And so therefore the audience member thinks, oh, he's talking about me.
Oh, no, please no.
Oh, come on.
You don't have the force. Force isn't real.
I know, but it's like you got to pander. I mean, who's buying the tickets?
Who's buying the tickets?
The only reason they don't break the fourth wall and just turn around and be like, and you are the most powerful Jedi of all is because we just that finally crosses the line.
And then G.I. Joe comes up and he's like, knowing is half the battle!
G.I. Joe! All right. This Christmas. A film that George Lucas hasn't touched. Okay. Now we're seeing people I haven't seen before.
Okay.
And these are the people who I assume must be the new... I don't know if it would be...
Protagonist team?
They've got to be. Because the new R2-D2 is the little ball guy. He's running away from, or rolling away from an explosion. Then you have the one dude, I don't know his name, but he's the one you keep seeing in the...
The black guy?
Yeah, the
stormtrooper guy?
Yeah. And then the girl.
And I'm pretty sure that girl is one of the Solo children.
Gotta be. Well, there's... And so Jaina Solo, if it follows the...
Which it doesn't have to.
That's true. But it might. Well, I think it would make some sense too. I mean, the thought that they named one of their kids Anakin, I think is kind of cool, you know. And then they can have like everybody get orphaned and then do like a whole never ending story thing where you just loop it all the way around.
Yeah, that's actually one thing I hope they don't do. I hope they don't bring in Mark Hamill and be like, Mark Hamill is the wise leading Jedi and bad guy shows up and kills him. And they're like, let me guess, the next episode. The main protagonist, whether male or female, gets the right arm chopped off and figures out a big secret. If they do that, I'm going to puke.
Yeah.
I'll still watch it, but I will puke.
I know. If I was willing, you know what, though? I was going to say I would be willing to sit through it just because it's Star Wars than I did with the first three. But you know what? I never bothered to see number three all the way through.
I
had such a bad experience with episode one and episode two. Episode three, all I did was watch where he becomes Darth Vader, which was lame.
Was not interesting.
Yeah, it's... anyway. It's supposed to be this intense scene where they're... And all you get is, you are supposed to be the chosen one! Welp, you're on fire! I'll see you later! I mean, it's...
Like, why didn't you just kick him into lava? Imagine the problems that would never have happened.
I know.
Had Obi-Wan just been like, lava bath.
No, because Obi-Wan doesn't believe in causing death, unless it's to random soldiers.
Yeah.
Or, obviously it's better to sit there and suffer on fire than it is to just into the lava and be done. Okay, we got some stormtroopers rebooted. So apparently, I guess the Empire's not over. I thought it was, but maybe it's not. Because... Why would there still be stormtroopers, you know?
Well, you need... Hold on. I think it's a bridge to a different antagonist. Because we all know to hate them, and so it's easy to hate them.
Yeah.
And so I don't mind.
Hey, at least it's better than episode two, where supposedly the stormtroopers were protagonists because Yoda was commanding them, and...
Yes.
That was... Yes. I still don't get what was going on! I lost it in that movie because they go to the rainy planet and then there's a bunch of
the
guys
rainy
eating lunch in the lunchroom who all look the same. And then apparently they're stormtroopers. And then I don't get what happened after that. And then they said, oh, well, that was the famous Clone Wars. What? That's it, Lucas? Okay, there's Chick again. Okay, I see TIE Fighters.
TIE Fighters look pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And somebody pointed out TIE Fighters in the atmosphere. When's the first time we've seen that?
Well,
I guess on Hoth, but, you know.
Well, did we, though?
Well, they were, like, different fighters, but, yeah.
Okay.
You know, Lucas had... So here's our buddy again in the Stormtrooper suit. And that makes me wonder, is there going to be a plot line of, like, he was part of Empire 2.0... And had like he realizes he has the force, and then he.
That's what I've heard. I've heard two sides of it. Either he's having like an attack of conscience, just like, oh my gosh, I'm with evil people, or he discovers, like, I've got this weird power thingy that I don't quite understand.
Wait, who's the dude with the purple lightsaber in the...
Mace Windu? Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson's dude. Is that Mace Windu?
No,
that's not
Mace Windu.
Right.
Is very dead.
No. But Samuel L. Jackson's character was Mace Windu, right?
Oh, yes.
What if this is like his long lost illegitimate love child,
love grandchild? Possible, not very probable.
I don't know. Sometimes a Jedi's,
Coruscant's a big city planet. Lots of things happen.
He's away from his Padawan trainer and got a little drunk, and one thing led to another. We met some chick, and
A nice Twi'lek. I don't know.
And then two generations later, ta-da!
Some dude with the
Force. Anyway, just a theory. I probably don't think that's going to happen because that's Disney, and that would be a little.
It's Disney. They don't want to play the whole. Yeah. Well, no, it is Disney. Hold on. For it to be Disney, he would have to have a step parent and a parent who's dead. We already know one parent's dead. If that's the case,
find out his birth parent died, and so he was raised by a step parent. What's a Disney character we haven't seen in a while? Goofy.
Ah, Goofy. Yeah.
Ever since Max moved out, I've been lonely around the house, but I've been raising this guy.
And then like. That means Mickey Mouse is in the Star Wars universe.
Oh no! Anyway. Okay, now we see this guy who apparently is too big pimpin' for a regular...
Mr. Shiny! That's what I'm calling him in my head.
Yeah, he's got his all-silver stormtrooper outfit. And I'm not getting any clues out of it. What's he got there? He's got some kind of red dot on his head. So if this were Lucas, I'd say, oh, I see, because he's a robot. Because Lucas loved robots. But this isn't Lucas. So I bet this is actually like... See, he's wearing a cape, too. So it makes me wonder, is he like the new Darth Vader?
New Darth Vader, new boss guy? I don't know.
I get that Darth Vader was the iconic boss dude of 4, 5, and 6. And his mysterious backstory was... kind of cool. It gave him some street cred because he kind of stood out among all the no other character wore all black except for his like buddies who were like his wingman as he went into the Death Star trench. But other than that, there's almost no other people who wore black armor in the first 4, 5, and 6. But I think it's a little tired if they're gonna have a new boss dude who's a guy in all armor. And let's do silver now because clearly we can't go back and reboot an existing color.
Because shiny, that's why.
Shiny. I mean, Darth Vader, until we saw his lame backstory in person in movies 1, 2, and 3, back when we just had 4, 5, and 6, it was kind of a cool backstory. It's like, wow, he fell in lava and had all his limbs chopped off?
Well, he looks pretty good for having fallen in lava.
Yeah, But we don't know what. So what's this guy's backstory? Why is he, he got all his limbs chopped off, too. Or maybe Luke turns evil and turns into this guy. Huh?
Intriguing, but yeah.
Okay. See people helping each other out. Ah, there it is! The Millennium Falcon flying into... What on earth is that?
It's like, okay. I saw a great analysis on that. So, you remember that Star Destroyer you saw in the beginning of the trailer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I wrongly assumed that the thing that they're flying through is that Star Destroyer.
Like the jet engines on the back.
Jet engines on the back, yeah. Turns out, that is not the case at all. Someone on Reddit did way too much analysis, and they showed you that is a separate type of Star Destroyer. So that means we know that there's at least two Star Destroyers that fell on their faces on Tatooine. So that alludes to the fact that something big happened near Tatooine. We don't know what, but something happened there.
Some big post Return of the Jedi war that broke out. Because that's true. I don't remember. I could see if we saw the Jawas coming out, or what were those guys' names? Ewoks.
Yeah, the Udini, those guys.
Yeah. If they all... but I'm thinking Ewoks.
Oh, the Ewoks, the little teddy bear guys.
Yeah, because we were on Endor's moon and we saw all the stuff smashed. I'd say, there was a big war because you know, all hell broke loose after the second Death Star was destroyed. But Tatooine, you know, I mean, a planet that Luke himself described as, if there's a bright center to the universe, this is the place farthest from. Why would the war break out there?
Exactly.
Well, we got another guy in black armor flying the TIE fighter. Here we go.
Chewie, we're home.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay.
Most people, they said that's all they needed. They just needed
that's
to see.
That's all they needed.
But
I don't know about that, but it was nice.
But here's the sad fact. Harrison Ford has said he would come back for this movie, but didn't necessarily say that he has any interest to come back for any additional Star Wars movies, which can only mean one thing.
He'd die.
They're going to kill off Han Solo.
Which what? I'm actually okay with.
You're okay with that?
I mean, I won't. I'll die inside. I'll never love another woman again in my life after I see that, but...
What?
But yeah, like, that will break my heart.
Yeah.
But I'd be okay with it.
But then what they did point out is Chewie looks so young compared to Han. So there's two explanations that make some sense, I've read. One is that Chewie's a... What do they call those guys?
Wookiees.
Wookie cookie. That's right. Wookiees live longer, so he doesn't age the same way Han does.
True.
Two, he uses this like Clairol thing called like Just for Wookiees.
Just for... He conditions. He conditions. That's the key.
There we go. Star Wars The Force Awakens coming to a theater sometime this December, I guess.
I would assume December. That's more or less J.J. Abrams style.
Yeah. Anyway, when we get back here on Radio Citrus, we'll talk with a couple of your calls that you've phoned in to talk with us. And there's a great Reddit thread this past week about songs that don't have the meanings that we think they do. And they vary from very sensible, shocking, hilarious to, I don't buy what the guys are saying. So, talk about it coming up next here, 323-920-9590, Radio Citrus and Q959 FM.
When we went in, there were three countries, Great Britain, Australia, and the United States. That's not a grand coalition. We can do better.
The house that YTMND built.
Well, actually, you forgot Poland. And now there's 30 nations involved.
Radio Citrus.
You know, Aunt Jemima, your pancakes make the whole family happy, especially the ladies.
Power overwhelming.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
The merging is complete.
And your Aunt Jemimas are so tender, so delicious, so easy to digest.
We burn.
Yes, right around the clock, Aunt Jemimas are enjoyable, satisfying, good eating. Mm-mm. Why, their tantalizing fragrance makes your mouth water.
You all look so different on this side.
Uncle Luke! Uncle Luke!
You know what I'm mad about? The Sandwich Islands. What do you think of when you hear the word Sandwich Islands? Sandwiches are supposed to be there. Guess what, people? Zip. It's like, come on, Jimmy John's, get your together and get on a paddle boat and paddle out there and bring me a damn sandwich. I swear, if we had Jared from Subway swim all the way from the United States to the Sandwich Islands, he'd coming back looking like he had AIDS.
Uncle Lou! Uncle Lou!
Introducing the Isis Mobile Wallet. An amazing app that uses
the Quran,
a technology that allows you to use your smartphone
in the name of Allah,
worried about safety. The Isis Mobile Wallet is safer than your existing wallet.
It is a world of horror.
After all, if you leave your leather wallet at a coffee shop,
you'll be executed on the spot.
The Isis Wallet, on the other hand, is protected. Also, sensitive data is
also tortured by ISIS
that is designed to restrict unauthorized access. ISIS isn't just a simpler and safer way to pay for things. It's also
an Islamic empire.
ISIS even helps manage your spending.
They destroy their passports.
So you know what you've spent and you're more in control. Your phone has already replaced so many things in your life. Let's add your...
Where 10 years ago America fought a bloody battle.
...to that list as well.
is like taking candy from a candy-hating baby.
Radio Citrus.
I hate you.
Yeah, this is Prairie Dog Eric Ken, and YTMND died because...
We really are the podcast that takes every phone call, even the ones that people weren't meaning to leave, at 323-920-9590. I don't know if I can get the right window up here. We'll see what you've been chiming in about since the last time we met. I actually have a call that I neglected. I should have picked it up last time. We got busy talking, and I didn't get talking to it. So, Addy, Radio Citrus, who's this?
Oh, hey, Radio Citrus, right? Same guy that called, I think maybe like a few months ago or something like that, asking about, you know, how do you make a good YTMND? What would make a good YTMND?
Yeah, and we were talking humor, and humor is a surprise. If you see the joke coming, it's just not funny. But
this isn't about that. Although, if you could answer that question, that'd be nice. But so, like, I was browsing the front page recently, and over the past few months, and I kept noticing all this this Suzanne stuff, and like the most recent one I saw was just some guy with like a hat, and his mouth was replaced by a goatee. Really low quality stuff. You got any scoop or any knowledge as to what this whole thing is?
I honestly have no clue. And to fill you in, Suzanne on YTMND, some user named Suzanne has started a self-promotional campaign.
Wait, on YTMND?
Yeah.
Really?
So for their own username. So it's like anytime anybody posts any site, Suzanne's one of the first to reply. And talks in third person like, wow, this Suzanne likes this site. This is part of the Suzanne movement. Suzanne!
I'm intrigued. I want more.
I am too. So I went and looked, because I was curious too, on the YTMND wiki. And there's a huge article about Suzanne that I'm suspicious may have been written by Suzanne.
Suzanne.
So, but it mentions in the article questioning Suzanne's gender. Ladies and gentlemen,
what is this, Pat?
Let me tell you, if somebody's posting to YTMND, they are a teenage boy or teenage boy at heart. I don't think there's ever been a single female user of YTMND ever. It's just not girls.
Maybe they show up and engage in the
when their younger brother drags them there.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Like, hey, look, Batman's retarded. Look at him. I miss that.
Well, it's like the YTMND user woman is not a, it's not a woman.
Definitely not a woman.
Let's see. The user is a fan of celebrities such as Leonard Cohen. He himself made a song titled Suzanne. All right. Suzanne Vega. Remember Suzanne Vega? That was Tom's Diner. That was a song by Suzanne Vega. Here we go. It's.
I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner.
It's kind of a depressing song. If you,
I don't know, sound kind of sexy. Maybe I find depression sexy. Maybe that's me.
Yeah. See, that's. I want to get a girlfriend. That'd be a cool way to meet her. I don't know. I was lonely. Went down to the diner. Ordered a taco.
Just decide whether or not it was a good idea to just end it all on the highway. And I decided not to. So
yeah. And then this girl was just sitting there, and she was sitting in the corner sipping on some Dr. Pepper. And I walked up to her and told her she was getting diabetes. So she got mad and she started crying. And then I felt bad. And so I told her I was sorry. Next thing we knew, we were kissing. And that's how love happens. Anyway, I don't know. But anyway.
Beating the beatus.
Yeah. Diabetes.
By the way, I would like to point out twice in three episodes, we've made a Wilford Brimley reference. I think that needs to be a thing.
Diabetes, diabetes. Diabetes, 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 diabetes.
Dr. Zayas.
Diabetes testing supplies.
Rock me, Amadeus. Help me, Dr. Zayas. And now Rock me diabetes.
Rock me diabetes.
Diabetes.
Oh, that, that's, you know, actually that was so funny. Rock me diabetes. I was driving in LA listening to Tim Conway Jr., the guy on at night, and his board op grabbed this YouTube video and played it as a bumper one time into a talk segment. So I'm listening to the most powerful radio station in North America, and they played Rock Me Diabetes on air.
Diabetes, diabetes, diabetes.
I love it so much.
I don't get why they did it, you know. But anyway, let's get back to the call here. You were saying here.
Like, the most recent one I saw was just some guy with, like, a hat, and his mouth was replaced by a goat teeth. Really low-quality stuff. You got any scoop or any knowledge as to what this whole thing is? It is some sort of fad someone's trying to start up or what? That'd be some good information.
I was going to say, it's pretty clear. Suzanne, Antichrist, Illuminati. Perfect. Nailed it. Okay, move on.
Yeah, I'm not throwing time here, but, yeah. Also, when's the new podcast going to come out? Well, obviously, I'm not going to be hearing this until the new one comes out, so then I'll know.
Good yeah, call. And then the problem solved.
No, boom.
Now, the best part is because I neglected the calls, two new podcasts came out, so this will be the third new one.
I guess you don't have anything better to do.
I don't assume. Don't assume.
Taping this on a Friday night, I have nothing better to do. I went down to...
Don't tell the secret!
I went down... hey, no, okay, so give you some idea. You know how, like Charlie Sheen and some others, to really get a good performance, they do cocaine?
Wow, winning.
Here's my jelly beans.
Jelly beans. I'm thinking about...
I went down to 7-Eleven and picked them up right before the taping here. That's giving me the sugar high I need to be able to do a podcast.
All right. Crack cocaine.
Wow, winning.
Next cocaine.
Next cocaine.
Wow, winning.
I'm going to go get some cocaine.
323-929-9590. Hello.
Wait. Hold on.
It sounds like a fart. Sounded like a fart.
Wait. I want to answer that guy's question. All right.
Okay.
He asked, what makes a post, a YTMND, funny? Okay.
Yeah, and I told him it was surprise. But...
Surprise. Okay. That's one element. You are asking the right person. I did research on this in college because I'm an idiot. So here's what I do know about humor. Okay. Surprise is critical for humor. Yeah. If you see it coming, it isn't funny. Okay. There's another guy who he has a theory that the basis of funny is learning, in that you're making connections with things that you didn't think were connected, hence the surprise.
The classic stand-up comic.
Yes. Okay. And the reason why that has credence, so you can say, you're like, okay, cool, yeah, whatever, that's whatever, I can't prove that's wrong. Here's why I think that's the case. Because once you have learned something, it's no longer interesting. You know it. So like, you know, so when you learn the Pythagorean theorem, you learn that and you have that like, aha, I see. You never have the aha, I see, because you already learned it. It's locked in. You have it. Okay. Same thing works with humor. If you connect two things that you never expected to connect, instead of having the just aha, you have the aha, ha, 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 because it's kind of funny and you didn't see that coming. But that also explains why jokes aren't funny a second time.
Because you see it coming.
Yeah, you see it coming. You already are aware of the connection. You already learned that.
And now that I've found all the answers, I realized that what I was living for were the questions. That stinks, Professor. Too bad the universe made it turn out that way and not some other way. I wonder why it did that.
Probably magnets.
Anyway.
I love Futurama. Okay, one more deviation before we get to the next call. I was watching an episode of Futurama. I'm rewatching it, okay? It was the one where I think it's season two where they're at the horse races.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses are going and they cross the finish line. Like horse, you know, number two crosses, then number four, and then number three. So we've seen it. And they go, all right, now the judges are looking into the electron microscope to see who won. And horse number three is your winner. And the professor goes, damn you! You changed the outcome by observing it.
Oh, that's right. They have the quantum finish.
Yes.
You changed the outcome by observing it.
That was great.
Yeah.
Quantum physics, you know, particle physics humor. Love it. Love it. High five, Futurama. Why was that show ever canceled?
Well, it was, and then it was uncanceled, and then it was, and then it was uncanceled. I mean, the fact that it came out of hiatus shows that people did appreciate, but also, I mean, be honest, they kind of milked the joke as far as they could go, you know? I think they ended solid. They had a good final season. Schrodinger's cat was funny.
Oof.
They, you know, they sit there and ask, what's in the box? Is a cat in a cesium atom? Is the cat alive or dead? Well, because that's the Schrodinger's cat in a box.
Yeah.
You know, the cat is both simultaneously alive and dead. And of course, Futurama, they just open the box and sure enough,
that's cat, very alive.
The cat just attacks you, you know.
Also a lot of drugs in there.
And then just for the icing on the cake, because you don't see you could kind of almost see the joke coming. Because they pull over a guy, Edwin Schrodinger, and you're like, oh, if you're intelligent, you know where it's going, right?
You could see.
So if you're dumb, you laugh because you don't get the joke and you don't see where it's going. But if you do see where it's going, then you don't expect the dumb outcome, which is the cat just jumping out and attacking him. And then the final that they do just to really just rub it in so you don't see anything coming.
There's also a lot of drugs in there.
And like, apparently Edwin Schrodinger's...
he's a cokehead.
All the drugs around. Oh, anyway, we get to... tell you what, we'll get to more of the calls on the next podcast. We're going to tape both of them tonight, so they'll both be online soon. But I want to get back, come back after the break, and talk about this fantastic Reddit thread that got posted in the last week or so about songs having meanings that you didn't expect them to have. The exact question was, Reddit, what song, let me pull it up here, what song isn't about what I think it's about? And what is it actually about?
Yes.
And a good example, like the top one, is Led Zeppelin's All of My Love Isn't About a Girl. It's about Robert Plant's son, Carrick, who died when Zeppelin was on tour in 1977. So,
sad face.
Anyway, we got a whole list of them, and we're going to actually pull the track out and see if it's a match. It's Radio Citrus on Q959 FM.
Stay classy.
You know what they say, Cosbiness is next to godliness.
The house that YTMND built.
Today's only Thursday for crying out loud.
Radio Citrus.
Uncle Luke! Uncle Luke!
You know what pisses me off? I went on another vacation and I went to the Hawaiian Islands. I expected them to give me a damn Hawaiian haystack. Guess what I got? A haystack. What do I look like, a f***ing horse?
Uncle Lou! Uncle Lou!
The operator of the regional landfill in Roosevelt provides services like hazardous waste. One of these days you may need to call them. My advice, look in the yellow pages under garbage.
What's your favorite summer memory?
Oh, it was that Friday night back in June when we went to McDonald's and the employees hadn't washed their hands, and so we both got really sick and threw up everywhere.
What about when we sat under the stars holding hands and you said you loved me?
Yeah, that night kind of stunk.
For a summer flavor on the go, try the Caesar Chicken Snack Wrap. Crispy or grilled for $1.89. And the new Coffee Crisp McFlurry for a limited time at participating McDonald's in Atlantic Canada.
You're such a jerk.
Radio Citrus.
So apparently, Like a Prayer from Madonna has a much darker, well, maybe not darker, but red light, blue light meaning to it than I ever expected.
According, is it red light, blue light? Is that like red pill, blue pill?
I'm thinking, no. I'm thinking more like blue laws, red light district, back alley.
So we're talking about hookers.
No.
No?
According to Reddit, Madonna is Like a Prayer. I don't know of a polite way to call it. She's describing a
69, dudes!
Oh, okay.
Down on my knees, I want to take you there.
Okay.
The
this is just not right. In fact, it's nasty.
Anyway, so that kind of ruins that song forever. But
I don't know. I don't buy it. I mean, I can see what they're going for. I don't buy it.
You don't you think they just made that one up?
Here's why. And I know we're going to get into more of this, and I hope this doesn't totally kill the discussion. But songs, popular songs these days, not pop songs, but popular songs these days.
Uh-huh.
Generally, so let's rewind the clock. One day I was shopping for CDs, so that gives you an idea of how far back this is. And I picked up one of Green Day's CDs, right? And this was their second CD. I believe it was Dookie.
On Holiday!
No, that was later. That was later.
What was Dookie?
I'm not sure. I'm sure I have it somewhere. But that was like, it wasn't their like first stuff that people liked. It was their second CD when they had kind of been somewhat more established.
Basket Case.
Yeah, probably.
Do you have a time?
Do you have a time?
1994, by the way.
There we go.
So you must have been buying it used.
Oh, definitely. This was at least in the 2000s.
So unless you were like a very, very young child, like, Mommy, I want to go
in kindergarten.
Dookie.
I did really like my pop punk. I really did.
Oh, really?
No. So I pulled the CD and I was looking at it. I was like, oh, hey, cool. This CD, I would like to own it. And so I pulled out the CD artwork, which that's one thing that I do kind of miss, but I still don't like tangible mediums. I like it all to be ethereal. I was reading it and, there was a part in the back that said all songs written and such by like these three people. And I was like, what? Cause it wasn't the guys in the band. Long story short. From that moment, I went to look up, most songs are not written by the people who perform them, especially popular songs. So that's then you bring it back to the corporate record label machine. They probably have a team of people who write essentially buzzword songs. So like, On My Knees, I Can Take You There, Where's There? Vague. It could be anything. It's this wonderful mix of like generalized vagueness that you kind of put whatever you want in there, but it's really nothing, but we turn it into something and it could mean anything. And so my favorite thing about this Reddit thread was that, none of them are wrong because the songs could be about anything, literally anything, because they are so completely vague.
I'm going to fight you on that though.
Okay. Fight me. What is your counter?
I'm just going to play you part of Filter's Take a Picture here. Earth's back up here. Okay, so he's flying back from a concert on his private jet, right?
Okay.
Okay.
So already hate him, but that's fine.
Wakes up on his airplane. His skin is bare.
He's naked.
Okay, so he set the scene.
Okay.
Feels like a newborn.
A newborn what? Was that the end of the sentence?
Newborn baby.
So.
Okay, so the story.
Okay. I think I have the story, but you tell me what you think.
No, you tell me what you think the story is. Then I'll tell you what people on the plane with him, what the actual story was.
Okay. Guy is at the airport. He has a delay. Some people are like, oh, hey, where are you going? I got a plane. They take him out for a few drinks. They roofie him. Okay. They put him on the plane. And then he wakes up and he's like, what? Where am I? I'm naked. And then people are like, great. We're going to do a really bad photo porn shoot with you. And you're not going to remember it because you're roofied and you're naked. So he's like, do you want to take my picture? And they're like, you're not going to remember. Don't worry about it. So that guy just became a victim of roofies and human trafficking. What is your counter?
Thankfully, no. That actually makes a somewhat more defendable story because it really wasn't his fault. No, this was he just got wasted on his plane, got naked, started running up and down the aisles and said – and he knew he was so drunk he wouldn't remember. And he said, hey, would you take my picture because I won't remember. And sure enough, that is the chorus here. There you go. That's it. That's the entire song.
That's the song. But see, that's just it. So when I'm listening to that, Airplane buzzword. Okay, easy to recognize. Oh, also another fun little study they did on pop music was the more repetitious, both in music and lyrics, that a song is, the more popular it ends up becoming. I don't know. My theory on that is that it's easy to digest. So to that, I would say he says airplane in that first line. Everybody knows what airplanes are. Everyone can recognize the word airplane. People like airplanes. That's how you go back to mom's place for Christmas, right? The next one is my skin is bare. Nudity. Everyone loves nudity. We all want to be naked. We all want to see each other naked, but clothes get in the way of that, and we all socially accept that and all that stuff. Okay, then what's the next one? What's the next line? I feel like a newborn. That one's a little weird, but everyone loves babies. Who doesn't love babies? Everyone except me. Babies are gross. They're poop monsters. All right. And then he said, "Do you want to take my picture?" Everyone loves pictures. Pictures are how we store our memories. That's how we do that. Everyone's so, "Oh, picture. I love pictures." And then buzzwords.
Nah, see, I think I would agree with you if it was cashier or something that was totally.
Those definitely more so.
Absolutely. But this guy, he had other guys on the plane. They saw him get wasted, get naked, run up and down the aisle, "Take my picture. I'm not going to remember." And then he recorded this track. I mean, there's no more meaning or no less meaning to get out of it. It was just autobiographical track.
No, really. So that's one of the things that I just like. When people say, "What does it mean? You don't think it means that?" And my first thought is, it's not intended to mean anything. The narrative is vague on purpose because
Not on this one. Not on this one.
Not on this one. This one, not as bad as some. I will admit.
Okay.
But. When you have a super specific narrative, that's how a song gets dated. That's how a song, it's locked in at a certain time. So, you know, Bee Gees, Stayin' Alive, okay? Yeah. Which that one was in that thread. Bee Gees, Stayin' Alive.
Yeah.
Totally vague.
I don't know.
Doesn't say anything specific, like walking around in my disco 70s car leisure suit. Like,
But that one, he's talking about depression, about living in the New York Times messes him up because he reads depressing articles and stuff. But
see, that one's believable. That one I'm okay with.
Okay. Well,
that one was before the 80s. So anything post 80s, I'm like, I don't think that person wrote that. This, I think it's fake.
This song has been re-recorded many, many, many times. This is a recording from Whitney Houston, late 80s. But it's a song that goes back to the 1960s, and the claim I find unbelievable. Well, Christmas time, do you hear what I hear, right?
Now shall the shepherd boy to the mighty king.
So the "Do you hear what I hear" is a reference to what?
Maybe the sound of poor people not having Christmas.
On its surface, it's an allusion to Christ in the manger, the baby Jesus.
Oh, right? The baby crying. Oh, yeah, adorable.
But according to Wikipedia, so back this, but with some sources backing it up, "Do you hear what I hear," written 1962. Now, the pair who wrote it, married at the time, wrote it as a plea for peace during the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
What?
And so the idea is... Kennedy, maybe? I don't know. Pray for peace.
And people...
I mean, it seems ridiculous, but the more I listen to it, it seems plausible.
I don't know. If JFK were to say anything, he would say, "Listen to me cheat on my wife. Listen to me
The Cuban Missile was straight up scary, man. He wasn't cheating on anyone at that moment. It was... As soon as it was over, sure, you know. Call up Marilyn, be like, "Hey.
Hey. I need to be a bad person real fast."
Yeah, you know. But anyway, it's about nuclear war, apparently.
I don't buy it. Right. I don't buy it. I'm not convinced.
This one, I think, is a little more believable. Michael Jackson's a smooth criminal.
Absolutely. Absolutely buy this one, actually.
Okay. You've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal. It's a reference to Annie being raped. If you listen to the...
Well, I don't know about raped specifically. Certainly attacked.
Well, from the point of view of a paramedic, it makes kind of some sense. Annie, are you okay? That's a paramedic thing to say.
Sure, but like, what if it was like her friendly neighbor who may or may not have been wanting to date Annie, but wasn't sure, but he was a polite fellow, and he wasn't going to intrude on her life, and he was like, man, I haven't seen Annie in 2 days, and he opens the door, and he's like, oh no, a smooth criminal has laid a trap for me! And, you know, it's because he's the person who found her, and you know, he's no one knows who he is, and he might be crazy, he might be weird, no one knows, well, and so then he gets accused of the crime, because that's a smooth criminal.
All you gotta do, though, is add one line to the beginning, and it makes sense to me that it's a paramedic, because you walk up and you're like, yo, what happened? He says, oh, well, this guy, he came in through the window. It was the sound of a crescendo, came into her apartment, left bloodstains on the carpet. He ran underneath the table and he could see she was unable. So she ran into the bedroom. She was struck down. It was her doom. Annie, are you okay? To me, it seems like it kind of works. But
see, that's the thing, though. That was a super specific narrative.
So do you remember Eminem's track Stan, the narrative about the guy who goes, like, the fan of Eminem who just kind of goes nuts?
I'm on 1,000 down, it's now I'm drowsy, and all I wanted was a lousy letter of a call. I hope you know I ripped all of your pictures off the wall.
So there's this track.
Good dark. So why is this not dark?
Well, there's
That's my first question.
Well, what's interesting is there's another track by Eminem called The Bad Guy. And according to this thread, this is like... Stan's brother Matthew, you know, my little brother, he was standing out in the anyway, mad that
he was standing out. Oh, that's so Eminem, rhyming with the middle of words.
He was upset that Eminem basically drove his brother insane and his brother killed himself, and so this is the revenge of the brother. You have this whole track here, and it gets pretty dark toward the end.
It's just me, you, and the music now, Slim. I hope you hear it. We're in a car right now. Wait, here comes my favorite lyric. I'm the bad guy who makes fun of people that die. And hey, here's the sequel to my Mathers LP just to try to get people to buy. How's this for publicity stunt? This should be fun. Last album now, because after this, you'll be officially done. Eminem killed by Eminem. Matthew Mitchell. Gosh, you even have your initials. I initially was.
There you go. Matthew Mitchell. Stan's little brother was Matt.
Okay.
So this is basically Eminem playing Stan's little brother, who's now kidnapped Eminem, going 90 on the freeway and saying, hey, your comeback album's going to be your last one because Eminem killed by Eminem, me, Matthew Mitchell, get it?
Oh, huh? Deep.
But you know what? I actually have to give Eminem some credit, because how often do you have an artist actually have a narrative take place over more than one song?
That is very well. Okay.
And not call it Stan 2.0 is the name of the track. Like, it's just called Bad Guy.
It's called Bad Guy. Now, keep in mind, I am really into prog rock, and so it's very normal to have like a 4-song arc. But
in
hip hop, yeah, no, everything is its own self-contained whatever.
Now, this one is the biggest stretch I've seen of all. But yet, the more I listen to it, I know they wrote this as a joke.
Okay.
But actually, it kind of works. Do you remember Rebecca Black?
Yes. Every Friday, some idiot at work will be like, hey guys, I'm playing that Rebecca Black Friday song because it's Friday. And then I promptly take them to the bathroom and kill them. But
you're not going to have many coworkers left.
I got it. There's always more.
Anyway, it's proof that if your parents have enough money and some studio time and you hire a publicist, you can become a one-hit wonder just from self-financing it.
True. And keep in mind, the producer is the one who wrote that song.
I don't know. These lyrics are pretty stupid. But
no, he did. No. I've looked at it. He read it. Seriously. That guy wrote those lyrics and said, here, Rebecca, sing this.
Hey, wait. She has a track called Saturday with more downloads than Friday?
No way.
You're saying a producer wrote that?
Yes. Self-admitted, on a napkin at a bar the night before.
7 a.m. waking up. Anyway, apparently there's a track called Saturday. But anyway, so the theory goes that this song is not about a girl excited to be heading off to school on a Friday morning.
Of course not, because it must be something deeper than that.
It's about the JFK assassination. Here we go. Now stop a minute and imagine.
Okay.
You're in Dallas, 1962.
Okay.
Or whatever it was, 1963.
I don't know when it was. But yeah, early 60s.
Don't you think it mattered what seat Kennedy was in? And couldn't you see him getting in the limo and asking himself... Eh?
Okay, maybe, but number one, it was a convertible, so or I guess it was JFK figuring out.
So in the music video for Rebecca Black's Friday, they're in a convertible.
True. Also, the guy who was sitting in front of Kennedy, that guy took two bullets. None of them were in the head, but I'm sure there was a lot of kicking going on.
They probably would now. Kennedy probably wishes he traded seats. And to polish off the deal.
Okay.
Guess what day of the week the Kennedy assassination was on?
Sunday.
A Friday. Friday, November 22nd, 1963.
And they only had one Friday that year. How did they know?
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to
the Kennedy, Kennedy. I don't know.
Yeah. That has to be right. You called it. You got it. That's what it is. That's exactly
it's about
what
the
it
Kennedy
is.
Assassination.
Must be. How could it be anything else?
Okay. Now
that was probably one of the best ones, though.
No, there's one that top.
Oh goodness, you saved one.
Okay.
Hold on. My first question: how far down did you have to go to get this one?
Quite a ways.
Quite a ways. Okay, because I didn't go. I went pretty far, not super
but
far.
But I think this is one of my favorites.
Okay.
You familiar with this song? Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire.
Okay, I hate Johnny Cash, so I'm already ready to throw up, but...
Is a burning thing.
It's a reference to his urinary tract infection.
Oh, because he had the clap ring. Or something.
A fiery ring.
Wait, why a ring?
Bound by wild desire.
Oh, that doesn't fit.
Sex, okay, STD, okay, I'm on board.
I fell into a ring of fire.
Here we go.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
Anybody's had to urinate with a urinary tract infection. There you go. Ring of fire.
You know, must say, still haven't done that with my life yet, but
no.
Now I know.
A hemorrhoid would work.
Oh, that's gosh, no! I love this.
Okay, here's one even better than that. You familiar with the recent lawsuit with Robin Thicke?
And, yes!
Blurred Lines?
Yes.
So we got to... Doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you apply it to what you think it is, which is him being really demeaning to his girlfriend. Hey, baby! You're more than plastic, right? So the theory that I'm actually buying into is, what if it's a story about him going down to the city pound and adopting a dog?
Okay.
It works.
Okay, state your case.
Domesticate you. You're an animal. It's in your nature. Liberate you from the pound? Something say to a dog, good girl.
I know you want it. I know you want it. Good girl. Can't let it get past me. Not far from plastic.
I don't know. It's a
stretch. Until the end right there, I was like, yep. He's getting a nice, nice girl doggy.
Okay, that doesn't work. That definitely doesn't work.
Well, actually, no. Have you ever had a dog like, oh, I'm gonna like gum on you with my mouth and just like bite you away. It's like, ah, you nasty animal, stop. I feel so lucky. You wanna hug me?
What rhymes with hug me? He even says you're the hottest bee in the place, which is kind of like, well, that's what you
look,
call a dog.
Look, right? She has a lot of fur. That dog is going to warm up. Just let me liberate you. You
don't need no papers. That man is not your man. Anyway, I just wanted to think about it, but actually, that kind of works. I'm not going to buy
it. More adorable.
Another one that to see it in print is upsetting, and it kind of ruins a song that is otherwise just a good, solid, gold 80s track. Peter Gabriel.
Okay.
Remember the name of this track?
This one.
Sledgehammer.
Okay.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense until somebody points out that Sledgehammer's him referencing his...
Okay. Shut the fuck up.
It ruins it forever.
It's a anthem.
It's him walking up to his girlfriend and just basically talking about his junk.
He's like, the sledgehammer. Imagine him pointing at his own crotch when he says it.
Oh, how many more of these can we do? I mean, there's just a never-ending list here. I mean, obviously, there's some that are over the top. Foster the People, obviously, it's a... Better Run Faster Than My Bullet, which... Right after Sandy Hook, this song disappeared from the radio for some reason.
It's like, actually, bullets are scary.
Even in a post-Columbine world, I was surprised that one. Tupac has his famous album, or his famous track, Me and My Girlfriend. All he needs in this life is me and my girlfriend. Well, turns out girlfriend is his gun.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
So it has absolutely no reference to
a female.
Yeah.
A female human.
Which, when you think about it, when's a rapper ever referred to their girlfriend as a girlfriend?
Exactly.
It's their B.
They're more respectful to essentially a series of plastic, springs, wedges, some gunpowder.
Isn't that sad?
That's pretty dark.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. Anyway.
I've actually heard that before. Girlfriend is what he named his gun.
Excuse me, sir, do you have a firearm in the car? Nope, just me and my girlfriend. But
it's like, oh, clearly, girlfriends aren't guns. Joke's on that security.
Well, that kind of scare the police officer, too, because he's like, well, where is she? Like, sir, do you mind putting your hands on your head and popping the trunk?
It's just guns. Don't worry.
No, my girlfriends are in the trunk.
My girlfriends.
Anyway, all right. Well, I think we've done enough damage with this. Radio Citrus celebrates the culture of remixing and stealing for the sake of creating art. Our motto is, steal unto others as you'd have them steal unto you. Therefore, we are Copy Wrong 2015, no rights reserved. To be a part of the show, hit us up at 323-920-9590, and your call will be on the next podcast. It's a long way back.